Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, girl, it's been a while. Guess you'll be glad to know that I've learned how to laugh and smile. Getting over you was slow. They say old lovers can be good friends, but I never thought I'd really see. Satisfies your mind, tells you all of his dreams. I know how much that means to you. I realized that I was blind just when I thought I was over you. I see your face and it's just a
Bill, are you on mute? Because I can't hear
Maybe
you.
Maybe I am. How about that?
Yeah.
I didn't even make it to 1 minute. I was on mute from the very beginning.
Yeah. Oh, man, that has to be a record
new
there,
record.
Phil. I tell you.
That's a new record. Absolutely. So let me start back where I was in the beginning. Good Lord, I had the whole intro done. welcome to the Garden of Enlightenment. Tonight, you're, of course, stuck with Pam Ray and myself. Lou's a little under the weather, and Gray is stuck at work. So I don't know how enlightened you're going to get with the two of us, but you know, I'll keep the faith. Pam's got more enlightenment to offer than I do. Well,
I think maybe together we equal one batch of enlightenment, hopefully at least.
There you go. But yeah, so we have a board, we have poetry, and Howard and I have each other, so I guess we're good, huh? We're going to
absolutely.
Work
I'm wonderful. Looking forward to it.
Yep, and we have some people on the line already, so I'm going to pick
wonderful.
Them up. Yep. So let me start here. Hello, Naomi, and welcome to the party.
Hello, girls.
Hi, Naomi.
How are you?
Hello. Good. I'm always
Monday
good.
Monday
Yeah.
There you go.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
There you go.
Yeah. And Friday, usually.
Yeah.
Sometimes Thursday.
Yeah, it all depends. But so that's about that. And I think we're going to be all right tonight. I think we got some good poetry, knowing Gray and Lou Yu. It was a great intro song.
Yeah.
You know, it was like a blast from the past, that was for sure.
Nice.
Very nice. Change up. Yeah. So let me start picking up the fellas. Is this you, Thomas?
Yeah, that's me. I'm still alive and still here.
I am glad to hear. Every now and again, I see you on my little drop down, and I say, "Okay, he's here." So that's a good thing. I figure eventually you'll float back our direction.
Hi, Tom.
Good morning. I mean, good evening.
I Tom one front page pick for that poem he had in our Twisted Tuesday contest. I was so happy. That was such an awesome poem.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love when people write for the contest that we put out and they come up with front page picks from them. I think that's always wonderful. Okay, and last but not least, we have Laurent. Hello, Laurent. Welcome to the party.
Good evening, all. Pleasure to be here.
Hey, Lauren.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi,
Laurent. I'm so glad to be here.
What's
hi, Naomi. Hi, Tom. Good to hear you all.
Absolutely. So we're just one big happy family here. Trying to figure out what I'm doing next. It's always the way it goes. Okay, who's got the TV on? Or the radio?
Not me.
Not me.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Oh, nope, there it is again. Or am I just hearing things?
Maybe. Well, I can hear it, but
okay.
I don't know. Maybe it isn't the TV. Maybe it's just weird interference noise or something.
Maybe.
But it's less bad than it was. We don't hear it now.
No. Well, darn, why didn't that happen? There we go. Okay, we're good, I guess. That always helps. Yes, Pam, the world musing record. That is me. Yes, I know you're going to run and tell. I know you're going to run and tell Rex.
I am. I'm going to be telling him about that tonight.
He kicked on my record, you know. That is so funny. That is just too dangerous. Okay. Let me see. I gotta figure out where I can start here. Okay, Pam, I'm gonna get you to start off right here with Julie Buck. I'll have another one figured out for you. That's what it was. Yeah, story of my life. Okay, here we go. Too funny.
Sometimes by Julie Buck, and it goes like this. Sometimes I am such a devil and often use my staff as a shield to protect evil I've shown. Sometimes I cry for other people, for them, because I know that they can't or won't cry on their own. Sometimes I see pastel faces in places, you know, where I have to huddle against the gales and the guilt I condone. Sometimes I walk right on past my life, refuse to look back, shiver hard, and pretend I believe I'm never alone. End poem. Oh, wow, that was just absolutely beautiful. And Naomi, let's start with your thoughts.
Yeah, well, I just love, you know, how she compares, you know, all the different, she puts all the different emotions in here, you know. Just wow. And the way she finishes sip, you know, so sometimes I walk right on past my life, refuse to look back, shiver hard, and pretend I believe I'm never alone. Just such a relatable poem to everybody. You know, I thought this was such an amazing write, fulfilled with emotion and filled with hope and an inspirational poem. Really, really amazing by Julie Buck here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. It is a really beautiful poem by Julie Buck. And let's see, Tom, your thoughts.
I enjoyed this poem and commented on it and said, how frequently in the name of love do we try to bear the sins another might be burdened by? Instead, we can only increase the waves that upset the teacups and leave a mess about. Living is the hardest job on the docket. Only a few are allowed to dance to the music. Never turn your back on a partner in the dance, I always say. The devil may try to cut in, but fast steps and a blind eye can save anyone. She wrote a delightful piece.
I like that. I like that. Great thoughts there. And Laurent, your thoughts.
I like the way Julie seems to have taken a deep look inside herself. And then she doesn't mind voicing what's painful and what she does that's nice. I love the fact that she cries for other people because they can't or cry on their own. And that last stanza, sometimes I walk right on past my life, refuse to look back, shiver hard, and pretend I believe I'm never alone. She is very self-discerning. There's a lovely depth to this right. Excellent piece.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said there. And Phil, your thoughts?
You know, I always like Judy's right. Judy, my God, Julie's right. Yeah, why don't I start over tonight? Just a really wonderful piece. I think that she's very straight and to the point, always, and this is no exception to that. I love the image that she has here. I assume that was her prompt. And, yeah, I think that she did a wonderful job. You know, sometimes. You know, I mean, just a great job. Thanks, Julie.
Absolutely. And you're right. She did do a wonderful comments, everybody. I really like that she did write to this prompt and took from it, but it also, as was mentioned, seemed to be very introspective. And I also like the fact that it isn't just about the introspection of looking at herself, but to me about the idea of showing the many sides of any woman and their capability or their willingness to protect other people from hurt. Just a beautiful write all the way through and very well done. And what do you got for us next, Phil?
I don't know. I think I have one for, well, if you all stop playing that musical chairs, I would be good. Let me see what I have. I had one for Laurent to read. I'm trying to keep this board in some sort of order. Oh. Yes, sirree, bub. Pam, sing a few bars of song, will you? Never mind, I got it.
Sing
a
song?
No, never mind. I
singing a few bars?
There we go. I'm sure if she had a few bars, she'd be singing.
Got me brought out.
I sail around with everything.
Okay. All right, this is by Oak Blue, called Long Way Home. I feel far away from my true north, home, where all that makes me whole resides among the forest pines, where I hear the laughter of childhood dancing in the trees, where I exchange songs with the warblers and mockingbirds. Someday I'll get back to there, where Mama woke early to bake a cherry pie, which cooled on the open window sill, calling me in whiffs from my gentle sleep. Someday, I'll visit Papa's grave, 1921 to 2003, where we said, born a good man, died too soon. His last days sitting on the veranda, smoking his pipe, listening to the breeze-blown trees sing their silky songs of countryside spring. For now, I live my lost life in the company of strangers who know nothing of forest pines, cherry pie, and my grandfather's smoke rings. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Laurent, and such a beautiful write by Oak Blue 34. And Tom, let's start with your thoughts.
I like the imagery and the sense of a childhood that was wild and free in a more rural, wooded area. I love the bit about the cherry pies. For me, it was apple pies. And that's what I can remember my grandmother's cooking, or the one in Georgia would do pecan pies that were out of this world. I think that's part of our youth. I love the comment about the grandfather. Though her last verse reminds me that sometimes we may share a whole lot with other people than we know. We just have to let them hear.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, this is just, just a superb piece. I just love, from the feel, just the feeling you get out of the whole write, that kind of nostalgia here, and I pulled at my heartstrings. It's just such a beautiful poem. When he talks about his papa's grave, he puts in the word papa there. That just got me. And, of course, the beautiful imagery throughout and just so well written. And, the last stanza, who know nothing of forest pines, cherry pie, and my grandfather's smoke rings. That's just such a tender piece, I find. Just beautiful by Oak Blue.
Absolutely. I have to agree with you. Nostalgic and tender were two perfect words to describe this poem. So great comment there. And Laurent, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
Yeah, these are lovely memories. They're so well presented. Finishing in that bittersweet last stanza, where I sense a real yearning for a different now, perhaps, as opposed to the now currently being lived. Those last three lines really, really got to me. I thought that was fun.
You know what? That is absolutely I have to agree with you. Those last three lines really do make an impact. So great comment there. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I thought that this was a wonderful piece by Oak Roof 34. Just it was beautifully penned. Love the nostalgia of it and wonderful imagery throughout. I thought it was very touching and just an incredible job. So thank you, Oak Blue 34. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. I like how oftentimes it's those desserts that, you know, mom or grandma or whoever made the desserts that stick in the mind the most. This is just beautiful all the way through, but it's definitely nostalgic, is definitely tender. I think, you know, for anyone who's moved away from home, you know, like that's where the last three lines are so impactful, is it's the idea that he keeps those memories of his childhood, but keeps them surrounded by people who don't really understand what it's like to have that kind of childhood, that childhood of forest pines and the sounds. I love that he brings in the sounds of the birds, songs, dancing in the trees where I exchange songs with the warblers and mockingbirds. That to me is just a wonderful line, a beautiful write all the way through and very well done. And Phil, what do you got for us next?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I have one for Naomi next. Naomi, if you are ready.
Okay, by Garden Delights. Be my honor. Your love. To be loved by you is the slow opening of a rose's delicate petals, a vibrant apricot sunset over frost-tipped waves, arriving home to my favorite dinner. Plus wine. I believed love meant me giving my all. Instead, you poured yourself out first, drenching me in your smiles and favors, whispering endearments for my ears only. One look from you, I melt, warm caramel coursing through my veins, fighting for control. I focus on the ocean's amethyst spell. An endless glass lake rests mutely at our feet. Let's run until we reach the world's edge. Peering over, we can glimpse tomorrow. Soon daylight fully surrenders to evening's mystery. Tired, let us draw ashen curtains to ourselves, tugging cloud margins closer for warmth, bundling them up, fashioning plump pillows, nestling comfortably within, twining our bodies like gift wrap. What a day. End poem.
Beautiful read there, Naomi, and such a gentle and tender write by Garden Delight, too. I'm just such a big fan of her poetry. Always beautifully written. And, Laurent, let's start with your thoughts.
By all means, a perfect day is a really apt metaphor for looking at all the reasons why you can be with someone, because if that someone wasn't the right one, then that day would not have been quite as perfect. And I really thought that the opening lines, to be loved by you, is the slow opening of a rose's delicate petals, a vibrant apricot sunset over frost-tipped waves, arriving home to my favorite dinner, plus wine. The day, the perfect day, continues once they've gotten home. But the way she wrapped the two of them in the, you know, tugging cloud margins closer for a warmth, building them up, fashioning plump pillows, nestling comfortably within, is another great metaphor. What a day, what a poem.
Absolutely, absolutely well said there. And Tom, your thoughts?
This is one of those ones that you, if it was written to me or written to anybody, I think we'd all find ourselves just feeling absolutely blessed. I love the gentleness of her imagery from the ocean's amethyst spell. I melt warm caramel coursing through my veins. I mean, these lovely, sensual, generous comments about wanting to love someone so completely and feeling overwhelmed because they loved you so well back. I mean, what do you ask for? This is just stunning.
It is. It is truly. Great comment there. And Dean, your thoughts?
I thought it was beautiful, a beautiful imagery, and I thought this was just a wonderful piece. In search of something to put down here, you know, I could have just written the whole thing and put it down here, but fighting for control, I focus on the ocean's amethyst spell. An endless glass lake rests mutely at our feet. Let's run until we reach the world's edge. Peering over, we can glimpse tomorrow. I thought that was pretty damn cool. But I really loved the write. I thought it was great. And thanks for sharing Garden Delights.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I have to agree with you. That was a particularly stunning section. And Naomi, you read that beautifully. Your thoughts?
Oh, I just love this. Like all throughout, oh my gracious, she has such amazing, amazing use of language and metaphors throughout this, you know, everything from the amethyst to the gift wrap at the end, you know, to everything is just so beautiful. I just love the lines. I believed love meant me giving my all. Instead, you poured yourself out first. You know, that's just so amazing there when you find someone that does that, you know, that pours them out themselves, that reveals themselves to you. And, you know, I relate to those lines a lot there. I think that those were amazing. That's an amazing sentiment there. But, I mean, this is just an amazing write all throughout. So, bravo, Garden Delights. And just awesome, awesome writing here. So beautiful.
Absolutely. Great comment there, Naomi. I have to agree with you that one section there really tug at my heartstrings, too. I believe love meant me giving my all. Instead, you poured yourself out first. And, you know, I just such a wonderful feeling that to have someone where you can be yourself and, you know, you both make sacrifices. You know, it's not about one person completely sacrificing or another person completely sacrificing. It's about both giving equally. And I like how this celebrates love, but it also, and it celebrates the beauty of the day and those simple moments spent together. And this has a wonderful, delicate sensuality to it. It's beautifully written and very well done. And Jean, what do you got for us next?
I have one for Thomas B. Thomas, if you would not mind.
Okay. 3/25/22 by Mahar Thalani. I hope I pronounced that right. In the wasteland by the road, where the wild woods have grown, driving by a flash of rose, where an errant seed was sown by a bird upon the wing, or a stormy fairy, or a squirrel picnicking on a cherry with a stone. Reaching up within the shade, an advantage she has made, while her neighbors are delayed, early blooming in the glade. Now this cloud of swaying rose, proudly showing off her clothes like a beacon, is exposed, her alluring charms displayed. To the traffic as it flows, it is striking, heaven knows, barren woodlands to oppose with this plume of blowing rose. we are feeling as we drive. We are glad to be alive, knowing spring will soon arrive, an old winter will disclose.
Wonderful lead there, Tom. I was really impressed with this, but I read it earlier. And first of all, I thought the rhyme and the flow to it was very captivating. I like that this is a poem celebrating that time where it's the end of winter, very beginning of spring, where you're filled with hope. And I thought there was wonderful imagery all the way through. But what particularly drew my attention was when she says, where an errant seed was sown by a bird upon the wing, or stormy ferrying, or a squirrel picnicking on a cherry with a stone. And I like how in those few short lines of this poem, the poet gives us those small details, that important detail about nature, that sometimes when you see something growing on the side of the road, you just never know where it came from. That bird, that squirrel, that storm, the way nature just works, and everything works out for the good of growth and life. And, you know, I just thought it was absolutely just a wonderful write and very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Well, I love the same. I was drawn to those same lines, but I mean, this is just so beautiful. You know, all throughout, I agree with you, Pam. The flow, the rhyme is just, you know, impeccable. It's just, it just flows like a song here. You know, inviting spring to come forward. Just such a beautiful write with such amazing imagery throughout. I just love barren woodlands to oppose with this plume of blowing rose. And then the way she says, we are glad to be alive, knowing spring will soon arrive. You know, just this happiness. The enthusiasm, you know, the inspiration that spring brings, you know, you feel it all throughout this write. Just an amazing, amazing piece.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I like that happiness. That is a great word for this poem. And Laurent, your thoughts.
Now this cloud is swaying rose, proudly showing off her clothes, like a beacon is exposed, her luring charms displayed. I found this to be a completely delightful piece on that errant seed and how it came to flourish. It's a fine metaphor. Love the imagery, and the rhyming is first class. And the entire tone, or the tone of the entire piece, just made me smile.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment there. And Tom, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
I like how it begins with the wonder of how things come about. You know, how did this beautiful rose come to be planted where it is, to the way that it shows up and shows itself off, and then finishes with how much we appreciate and delight in discovering it after a long winter and the first blooms of spring. I thought it was really lovely. It has a very strong, you know, the strong lyrical feel, the rhyme, so that you find yourself swinging with it as you read it. Very, very well done.
Yes, absolutely. It really was. Great comment there. And Jean, give us your thoughts and bring us on to the next poem.
I really enjoyed that piece. I loved the rhyme and the meter of it, but I loved the imagery throughout. And I thought it was just really nicely done. It was pretty imagery in it. It was not overdone. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't lacking. It seemed like it was just the right amount in my head, if that makes any damn sense. I don't know what my head's doing these days. But definitely, definitely a great piece. And thank you for sharing that with us. For sure, for sure.
Absolutely.
Now what do I have? I have something for Pam, I think. No, I do not, do I? I'm so confused. Make sure everybody keeps their seat. I get all turned around. There's a look.
Time for an audio.
No, I should be going to Naomi. Okay, Naomi. I'll put this one up for you. Thank you very much.
Okay. This is by Sydney Pierce, the song of Flora. There is something so compelling about telling the stories of flowers, their voices so pure and yet so silent. They come from only love, no violence. They deserve to be heard by the masses with their dewdrop, tears like molasses, nestled so lovingly within sprouts of grasses. I will carry their song in my heart and sing it even in the dark. When Flora does sleep and Willow does weep, so they know we are never apart. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Naomi. Beautiful read by Sydney Pierce, or beautiful write, sorry. And Tom, let's start with your thoughts.
Now, I like how she starts it off with it being really a song for flowers. And to me, it made me think immediately of crocuses in early part of spring for some reason. Maybe because of the first white ones that are called snowdrops in the early parts of March and late February. And yet, when she gets done, those last two lines, there's a sudden shift that makes you feel that it's not only a song about nature and flowers, but it's a love poem as well. And then sing to the heart of anyone who has ever loved the flowers and loved the world therein. Just a beautiful piece, and so beautifully done in a quick, short poem.
Absolutely. Absolutely, you're right. It's a beautiful brevity, and there is something wonderful about those end lines about the idea of the representation of love. So, excellent comment. And, Laurent, your thoughts?
Well, when I read this initially, I thought it was a beautiful floral piece, well-phrased, especially, as you guys mentioned, the last four lines. I found that they touched me deeply. But I got to give it to Tom for his... for his little review. It was very well phrased, and I should have seen it more as a love song than I did. Great piece.
Absolutely. Well said there, Lawrence. Great comment. And Naomi, you read that beautifully. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I think she took flowers and she just, explored all that they, and stated all that they can represent. They come from only love, no violence. You know, what if the world was all flowers, and we only had all peace and all love? Wouldn't that be beautiful? I just love this piece, and the ending lines, I really thought, they really flowed and they were so beautiful there. When Flora does sleep and Willows does weep, so they know we are never apart. I just love the final lines, but all throughout, this is just beautiful. I just love this little brevity.
You've all made. I have to agree. Wonderful comment there, Naomi. I think you've all made just wonderful comments. And, whenever I read a poem like this, it makes me think of that song, Where Have All the Flowers Gone? I think it was it the Mamas and the Papas that sang that? I know actually a few people I think have. But that is just one of the most beautiful songs. And what first thing I thought about when I started reading this poem is the idea how, especially in Victorian times, it was oftentimes every flower had a representation. It communicated a message. So I thought of that. And the idea that not every message was positive. Like there was actually, I can't remember which ones, but there are certain flowers you gave, a flower you gave somebody to say, hey, I'm not interested. Thank you kindly. Here's a flower to tell you I'm not interested. But what I like is that she goes into the actual hearts of the flowers and how the flowers themselves, and I think the flowers themselves are representative of love, or perhaps even they might be representative of children or people who are pure of heart. I really like that she reminds us that flowers in their natural state were not created, to represent violence. They were created to represent purity and love and peace. And this is a wonderful brevity, but what I particularly like were those end lines, when Flora does sleep and Willow does weep, so they know we are never apart. That whole idea that when you look upon the flowers and think of each other, just a wonderful representation of love. And beautifully written and very well done. And I, Jean, are you back?
Kinda. I don't know where I went. I was sitting here, and all of a sudden, everybody stopped talking. So I had to hang up and call back. So, but that was a beautiful little piece. So, nicely done. Yeah. So, that's how you got muted. Oh God, now I'm hearing voices again. Here we go again. Maybe they're mine. I don't know. Okay.
No, I hear that background noise too. It's the oddest thing.
Me too.
Well, I guess we'll see. But, Laurent, I have one for you to read. So if you'd be so kind.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Jack. This is called Sense of Entitlement. Overweening. Self-aggrandizing, don't look in the mirror of the creaking, crackling, weepy, whiny white guys is potent. No bounds, no nose fills the Indian Ocean, covers Mount Everest. Screams, me, 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 Aztec altars and rivers of blood, murmurs slice and dice, grows gross and groaty, sickens the stomach, nauseates the nostrils, numbs the nerves, shoots the second musket, blows it up like bombs. Boom. And Paul.
Great read there, Lauren. And definitely a raw, honest, straightforward write by Jack. And, I would say that whiny people in general annoy me, so there's definitely some honesty to that. And let's start with Naomi, your thoughts.
Yeah, I agree. People are always have something, a problem, they always have something wrong. Oh, my gracious. It's demoralizing and it sucks all your energy right out of you. I so agree. Yeah, I love Jack's writes. Oh my gracious, he's just so raw and real, and he can be funny, and he can be deep. He can be, I just came to love Jack Tomkovic's writes so much, and I look forward to them every show. So this is just amazing.
Absolutely. And you're right. He does varies well, between humor and deep. And, so great comment there, Naomi. And Tom, your thoughts?
I always enjoy Jack. It's hard not to. I'm sure there are some people he might offend because we never seem to be able to write this kind of stuff without stepping on somebody's toes. Probably some whiny white guy. In any case, his dream for what might happen to them, and the way they cause, they're constantly causing problems all about them, strikes right to the center of the truth. I enjoyed it immensely.
Absolutely. Well said there, Tom. And Lauren, great read there. Your thoughts?
I had the pleasure of reading this a couple of weeks ago, and at that time, I told him that I thought he nailed whiny white guys to the cross with this particular write. The me of white privilege ringing loudly and unfortunately sometimes blowing up in our face. I thought it was a very strong piece.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Jean, back to you.
Okay. Well, Jack, I think you did a great job. Nicely done. Well-penned expression of your thoughts. Thanks for sharing with us. Absolutely. Okay, Pam, I'm tossing it back to you.
Okie dokie. This is Mary May Time by Supergirl, and it goes like this. As the wind brushed past my skin, each moment was not wasted on a blink. Trees swayed their leaves in all directions. It was time that the butterfly returned, dancing from one flower to another. Sun sparkle now, no one would could smother. Chirp, crisp and fresh air as I breathe. From this lovely air, my face I couldn't sheathe. Clack came with each leaf underneath my feet. I saw, smell the nectar on flower that was sweet, making her way from the cold into existence. The spring now rolled. End poem. And Laurent, let's start with your thoughts.
Certainly. Hard to believe that May is almost here. It's amazing. Butterflies and nectar on a summer's day are the ingredients that honestly make me smile as I read this. And that was a charming piece, well realized.
I have to agree with you. It is a charming piece, and I do like that part about with the movement of the bee from flower to flower. And you know what? I also have to agree with you that it's really difficult to believe that May is almost here, especially since it was snowing today. So.
Actually, it's all over the place because of the snow.
Yep.
Upstate New York is going to get a foot of snow tomorrow. Well, it started now, right?
Right. Exactly. And Tom, your thoughts.
I like the opening three lines. As the wind brushed past my skin, each moment was not to be wasted on a blink. Trees swayed their leaves in all directions. I especially love that each moment was not to be wasted, because there's something about those spring days and summers waiting in the aisles, looking for a chance to show up, where you just delight in every warm day that takes its turn and delight in everything that you see that says, yes, it's all coming. Summer will soon be here. I mean, like, I saw one of the early hummingbird scouts at my hummingbird feeder a couple of days ago. And then, of course, it hits 30s and the snow hits. It just makes no sense to me at all.
Right? I know. It's crazy. But I love seeing those hummingbirds. They're such beautiful birds. And, yeah, wonderful comment there, Tom. And Naomi, your thoughts.
Yeah, well, as I was reading this, you know, it just put me in this place of peace and relaxation, you know, just in that moment, you know, that perfect moment where you're out in a park or you're just sitting someplace, you know. You know, I have a park right beside my house where there's beautiful waterfalls and there's a river and there's these big, big oak trees. And, you know, it just put me right in that time. You know those little times that you have when
the entire world seems just perfect, you know, for a few minutes there, you know, you get lost in time. So it's what this poem did to me. So this is amazing, amazing right here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said there. And Phil, your thoughts?
I had a couple. I don't know where I put them. Well, okay, here we go. You know, I thought it was very nicely written and wonderful imagery throughout. And I really thought it was an excellent little piece. You know, wonderful brevity. I've seen quite a few brevities come past us tonight. That's pretty cool. So, but yes, I think that Supergirl did a wonderful job. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. I have to agree. I like her, not only her imagery, but her sense of movement in this. As the mention of the trees swayed and the butterfly dancing from flower to flower. And I was thinking, I had commented, or like not commented earlier, but I was thinking earlier as other people were commenting, you know, that I thought that this was told from a human perspective, but I can't help but wonder with the line, I saw, smelled the nectar and flowers that were sweet. It almost at that point seems as if this whole poem is told from the perspective of a bumblebee moving from flower to flower. You know, I like that there's that possibility of that, you know, but whatever perspective it's told by, it's just absolutely beautiful in the way it uses imagery and movement and scent to celebrate spring. So very well done. And back to you, Jean.
Back to you, Jean. Eugene, where the hell are you now?
He's probably drinking on the job.
Yeah, probably. Yes, yes. Eugene is hanging out with Frank. We're in great shape. I mean, they're in great shape. Okay. Tom, I have this one for you, if you don't mind, by Adrian 41062.
Okay.
I hit the button. We'll be there someday.
Losing My Religion by Adrian 41062. Losing My Religion. It's so easy to become a drifter, losing focus, losing control. No one helps you on your journey. No one will protect my soul. I'm losing my religion daily as I fall into the darkest hue. You used to be my go-to, the one that I would turn to. I see you in the shadows, on the corner of the street. Until we are back together, my life is not complete. Life moves on so quickly, things will never be the same. I know life's raw at the moment. Losing my religion again. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Tom, and a beautiful write by Adrian. And Naomi, let's start with your thoughts.
Yeah, well, I you know, that the repetition of those lines, losing my religion, makes this poem really, you know, striking It really has a great impact, those lines, the repetition of those lines. I see that he has in his A.N. Or her death, friendship, family, hope, love, pain. You know, so losing my religion, probably like a metaphor for losing what is important in life. You know, I saw this as a very, like, a kind of a spiritual poem, really. But, yeah, so well written and very impactful lines.
and again, a very raw and straightforward write from Adrian, and very, very well done.
Absolutely. Great observations there, Naomi. And Lawrence, your thoughts?
Yeah, that opening, I found very strong about becoming a drifter and losing focus, losing control, no one to protect your soul. You know, when you start taking life's hard hits, it feels like you're being chafed at or scraped or somebody's sandpapering you, and you fray little by little every day, and you begin to lose your faith, and something else happens that's bad. Whether it's a death of a family member or a loss of a love, and you feel like you're losing your religion, not a specific religion per se, Catholicism or Judaism, but the faith in life overall, you really begin to lose it. And he says things move so quickly. I know life's raw at the moment, losing my religion again. Powerful piece, powerful piece.
Absolutely. Both you and Naomi made really good points. And I like how you mentioned that losing your religion isn't about a specific religion, but about losing faith in life in general. And how Naomi mentioned, that losing your religion can be a metaphor for the idea of losing something important to you. So great comment there, Lawrence. And Tom, your thoughts?
Yeah, I was struck by why it starts with it's so easy to become a drifter, losing focus, losing control. There's a sense of this, you need things that anchor you, things that hold what has meaning in life for you, and that when you begin to lose that, you lose your sense of well-being. I mean, I see you in the shadows on the corner of the street, until we're back together, my life is not complete. The sense of needing to reach out for the things that give your world purpose, meaning, vision, your faith, your spiritual sense, and your physical sense of purpose. It's really nice how it's done in just really quick, short little verses so that it strikes you quickly and makes you stop and think for a moment, because it's really a very hard subject to get people to look at and even to clearly bring forward. I thought they did a wonderful job.
Absolutely, yes. I have to agree. It is beautiful, and the lines being shorter, it does make an impact. This is wonderful rhyme and flow. I like how it's about, to me, the whole write is wonderful, but what really stood out to me was that first line, it's so easy to become a drifter, losing focus, losing control. And then that third line, third stanza, I see you in the shadows on the corner of the street until we are back together, my life is not complete. And I like how at that part, it could be about an individual person, love separated, but it can also be, as has been mentioned by all of you, and that whole idea of anything in your life that makes you feel complete and healthy and whole. So this is beautifully written and very well done. And back to you, Phil.
Okay, well, that was an excellent write. And I want to thank you for sharing it. To go to Naomi. Miss Naomi.
Yeah.
For you. Thank you.
Okay. Poetic Prince. A spring haiku chain. Carnation cuteness class ceremony commence. Graduation day. Red rose redolence. Lily scent. Countryside dew. Springtime. Perfumes, orchids of blue bloom, valley violets, tulips hues, geraniums sues, end poem.
wonderful read there, Naomi, and such a beautiful haiku chain by a poetic prince. And Lawrence, your thoughts?
This is a beautiful trail of haikus to appreciate. As good ones like these are beyond me. I love the way he resolves each haiku. Red rose redolence, lily scent, countryside dew, springtime, perfume's cue. I just like the way he does that. And all of them, he did a great job.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Tom, your thoughts?
Well, this is a nice, as he titles it, a set of springs haikus chain. But he starts with the flowers, the opening lines, and then by the end it becomes more personal, as if all of a sudden there's a discovery of how all the flowers move together. It grows on you. It's really beautifully done.
Yeah, I have to agree. Great comment there. And Naomi, you read that beautifully. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, this is beautiful, but when you look at it, I saw it as kind of a travel through life also, like carnation cuteness, like at the birth, and then you graduate, and then, you know, the travel down a countryside, like through life. And then he ends with the word soothe, like as if he's finally found that soothing spot in life. I don't know. It's just a thought that came to me as I was reading it, you know. But, you know, I just love the way this is written all through. Just amazing.
It truly is. And really great observation there, Naomi. And Jean, your thoughts?
No, I thought it was, nicely done brevity chain. And I liked his use of alliteration. And the carnation cuteness class ceremony commenced. And then you got red rose redolence. You know, he's got the lines in there that make it just, yeah, could be a little bit challenging sometimes, you know, for certain people, probably me. But I think that it was really nicely done. And I think that he brought out this taste of spring there. I mean, you know, class ceremonies commenced. You're talking about June, you know, you're just kind of walking through the nice warm weather that's upon us. So, or soon to be upon us. Sorry, Pam. I was being silly. But yeah, great job. Great job, poetic.
Good comment there. I like that you brought up the alliteration, because I too had noticed that. And I think to use alliteration in a poem where you have to have a specific syllable count can be a bit tricky at times, and I think he did do a wonderful job of that. I do have to agree with Naomi that there is a sense of traveling throughout life. Now, I took Geranium Soothe, honestly, as being that was the representation of the end of life, people offering comfort after death to loved ones. But I may not be right. That's just how I took it. But I, like you said, Naomi, I do see this kind of, the celebration of milestones in life, like the graduation, you know, and there's such a wonderful representation of those milestones. I like this all the way through, but that third stanza with valley violets, tulips, hues, really just stood out for me. It's very well done. And back to you, Phil.
You keep joking. Well, Laurent, I have one for you to read. And Pam, I'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay. This is called Spring by Rama Bajusi Britain. Wow. Bala Subramian. Rainbow on greens, draping golden sheen. Fragrance fills air. ending all despair. Baby plants on ground, tiny leaves abound. Myriad chirping fills surrounds, small feathers bejewel grounds. Fruits dancing on tree bestows exhilarating glee. Cool breeze strokes, happy are folks. End poem.
Great read there, Lawrence, and such a wonderful spring write by Rama. And Tom, let's start with your thoughts.
Well, I like the way she cascades the lines in this because it helps to, I want to say, impress you with sort of the rush of colors, the way that spring awakens so many things and completely overwhelms you with the resounding voice of life coming back in every direction, from the bird to the plant, to the way the world itself just seems to move and rejoice. And I think that she does a really lovely job of bringing that to the fore. Very well done.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, once again, this took me to the happy place. it's just, you know, so beautifully written, and the flow is just so wonderful throughout it. I love just the image, the striking image that the poet creates in the mind here with the beautiful imagery. You know, she has the sound in here. She has, you know, just beautiful imagery all through. You know, just a great homage to spring here. So beautifully written.
Absolutely. Great comment there, Naomi. And Lauren, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Sorry. I put it away for some reason. This is a brevity that created images that were quite vivid to me. And in the briefness, spoke very loudly. I thought it was very nice work.
I have to agree. Wonderful comments, everyone. Yeah, I really like the way that they gave a certain flow to the shaping of their stanzas, the stacking of them at various levels. So very cool there. I like how this is that about that newfound life and joy that comes to us when spring starts showing itself. Those myriads of chirpings, the baby plants, the baby birds, it's all such a wonderful celebration of spring. This is beautifully written and very well done. And let's see. Are you back with us, Jean?
I am. Sorry. We do have another caller on the line. L. Milton Langham. So let me bring him on. Hello, Lewis. How are you tonight?
I'm just fine. How are you?
If that was any better, I'd be twins.
Lewis, glad you could join us.
Absolutely.
It's good to be here.
I tell you what, just in time, I'm going to start having everyone that's on air with us read their poems. So you get to listen to one, two, three others, and then we'll do yours, and then we'll be good. Okay?
All righty. Hold on.
Okay. Very good. Okay. The next one I have is... I believe it is for Thomas. Okay, Thomas, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Thanks much. Oops, wrong door. There are always those poems, the ones you don't want to write. Eulogies, memories, breakups, takedowns, rants, raves, and craves. Maybe a line or two about things you don't like about yourself. All the words that pour out all at once. leave you feeling empty, unsure if you should share. Do you dare? Did it whine? Is it petty? Does it leave you feeling a little less than before? You started like the day it happened. Poetry can be like letting blood. We know that along with leeches, you didn't come out any healthier. So why write them? Why do we have to clutter up pages, waste ink, beat on our lexicon of insidious language to portray the moment, the day, that event, one we wish had gone away, or stayed, or changed, or sometimes you have to do it just so you can cry. Prose is great for facts. Poetry is for everything behind the facts. What makes them real, what keeps us alive, vibrant, even when we hurt to death. Go ahead. Tell me I'm wrong. Be careful. Life changes in a gnat's eye. I still choke up, even on the simplest goodbyes. And
nice, right, son. Well done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely wonderful read there, Tom. Just wow. Wow, very, very impressed. And let's get you some comments. First of all, Laurent, your thoughts.
Yeah, I like the title, Oops, Wrong Door. Shouldn't have opened that one. That refers to those poems, the ones you don't want to write. You know, let me just jump ahead to the lines. Prose is great for facts. Poetry is for everything behind the facts. You can sit and list things in a very sterile order as reasons for why you feel the way you do. But, you know, to get emotional about it, to really convey the emotions, what you're truly feeling, he's exactly right. That's when you jump to poetry to write about the eulogies, the memories, the breakups, takedowns, rants, rates, craves, all the things you don't like about yourself. And I like the doubt that he inserts into that first stanza. Do you dare? Did it whine? Is it petty? Does it leave you feeling a little less? You know, sometimes you'll say something in public that you, later on you'll think, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Or maybe that didn't need to be mentioned because by mentioning it did make it cheaper somehow. And then I do like that. The line about poetry can be like letting blood is exactly right. It is. You're almost purging yourself. And when nothing else works, you do have to do it just so you can cry, because maybe that's the only way you have of crying. So that last line, I still choke up, even on the simplest goodbyes. It doesn't take much to make me emotional. A lot of times I'll cry at the drop of a hat, not because I'm sad, but because of what I read is either so beautiful that it touches me deeply, or because it's so true that it touches me deeply. It's a fine piece, though.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. Wonderful observations there, Laurent. Great comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, Tom, this is just a superb piece, you know, that every writer, everybody on all poetry can relate to so much, you know. Writing is such a therapy. You know, that line, sometimes you have to do it just so you can cry. You know, there's it's so true. There's still parts of my life that I haven't written about yet because, you know, I just can't, I'm not there yet. But, you know, it's so true. Writing, it just helps heal in so many ways. It just gets the pain out, you know. But, yeah, to be ready to face that pain, I think. But, you know, this is just amazing, Tom. I just so love this write all. It's so deep and it's so true, and every word is true. Just such a great profound reflection throughout this write. Just amazing.
Absolutely, great comment there, Naomi. You're so right. You know, writing can be extremely healing. So wonderful observations there. And Lewis, would you like to make a comment on Tom's poem?
I thought the poem was very deep and very moving. I was really impressed with it. His imagery was very sharp, and you could feel the passion in it, definitely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. Great comment there. And Jean, your thoughts?
I really think you did an excellent job with this, Tom. There's a lot of truth in there. I pulled this stanza. Prose is great for facts. Poetry is for everything behind the facts. What makes them real? What keeps us alive, vibrant, even when we hurt to death? And, I put in there, poetry is most definitely the heart of our stories. It's all those things that, you tell a story, you kind of shave it off the top and it's okay. But yeah, definitely when you write poetry, that's not how it works. It comes right from your gut, pretty much. But I thought it was very well said, and thanks for sharing that with us. Nice work.
Absolutely. Wonderful comments, everybody. Tom, I really liked this. I like how it takes a look at, not only what poetry is, the fact that it can help us to heal, but also, how we just need to shave away those unnecessary words, and get to the heart of the matter. And, when you're hurting, and just pour it out. And I really like this all the way through, but I especially, that second stanza with the starting of poetry can be like letting blood was the one that particularly stood out for me. As well as prose is great for facts, poetry is for everything behind the facts. What makes them real? What keeps us alive, vibrant, even when we hurt to death? That's just powerful lines there, Tom, and very well done.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And back to you, Phil.
Okey-doke.
Yes.
Naomi, I have one for you. I wonder why, because you put one on the board. So whenever you're ready.
Yeah. Okay, you put that one up. Okay, I had changed it, but it's okay. You all heard this before. I didn't know what to put up. Okay, so this is written for, I think it was your contest, Phil. Summer of Sweet 16. He smiled as he sketched her, the girl from the Bronx, roared in on the back seat of a raging ride. Who'd pumped his teenage hormones full of steroids with those smoky eyes that had cut into him as a milkshake he'd slurped down too quick that pounded through his temples into his brain but left him craving more. Her voice with that gritty, sugary sass like strawberries that stuck in his throat and her laugh fresh and light as tingles vice lemonade on his tongue, skin soft, creamy caramel, with hair like cotton candy that clung to his fingertips, and her lips, shiny maraschino cherries, pouted and parted, cravingly unfulfilled, waiting for that sugary moment cream was finally spilled. Her name had melted inside his mouth, like ice cream, and never left. No summer had ever tasted so sweet. And
yum.
Cool.
Great
job, Naomi. Yeah, I have to say, this is one of those that was definitely worth hearing again. Beautifully written. And Lewis, let's start with your thoughts.
Well, right now, my diabetes is... wanting some of that some of that ice cream. You know, it was a very very interesting. anybody who can ride up on a motorcycle and give you those kinds of feelings has got to be a charmer.
Absolutely. Absolutely, no doubt about it.
The reaction, I love the reaction of like slurping down, was it a slurpee?
Milkshake.
Yeah, slurping something that I thought was just really, really sharp. Good image.
I have to agree with you. That was particularly sharp imagery. And Tom, your thoughts?
Oh, this is such a festival of sensual delights. A true, shall we say, feast. The kind that makes, like when you get one of those smoothies where you suck on it and pretty soon you find your teeth starting to tingle and your brain starting to freeze. And yet, this is so hot, and I'm sure the heat would be having you melt down in your seat before you realize just how frozen your face had become. I love the steak, the cream caramel, the cotton. I've never heard anybody describe hair like cotton candy, and instead of having it sound very messy and frizzled and over-fried, it somehow becomes full of static electricity and energy, and it has a certain sadness about it. And the bit about maraschino cherries, I'm almost being enough to have an alcoholic give up alcohol and just start eating the little drinks and fall in love with all. This is just great from start to finish. The opening line was a wonderful setup, but then to follow all those food descriptions was just perfect.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Tom.
Great comment, Tom. And Lauren, your thoughts?
I think I gained weight just reading this. It was certainly true a year ago when I read it the first time. It's not just KFC that is finger looking good, but the sweetness of her metaphors that require full taste buds of adolescent memory. I have a diabetic sugar overload now, thanks to you.
Right. Great comment, Lauren. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I loved this piece the first time we read it. I think it was a great take on the prompt, and I think that you did it masterfully, Naomi. And I think that, it was just really excellent. I mean, you know, you got all the guys in diabetic shock. You know, what more can you say, right?
Yeah.
So it was really, it was a great piece.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I really liked this. I loved hearing it again. You really captured that the raging hormones of that teenage years and the way it affects the brain and the first crush and your use of imagery, especially that food imagery. Her voice with that gritty, sugary sass like strawberries stuck in his throat, and her laugh fresh and light as tingles of iced lemonade on his tongue. You know, this is beautiful all the way through, but those were the lines that particularly grabbed my attention. So just absolutely a beautiful write and very well done, Naomi.
Thank you, Pam.
And back to you, Phil.
Okay, good night, Thomas. Thanks for joining us. You have a good night now. Okay. Laurent, I have your piece up next.
All right. This is called Patience of the Sphinx. I exist to navigate labels of a polka-dotted sea where every circle, a straight line, sadly closed to me. Adrift upon surging oceans, under blue vaulted skies, wind song asks the question, a technicolored why. How fragrant the fruit of possibilities, if only I could attain center of the circle, sequestering the acid taste of pain. Uncork the flare of an angry red, moodiness of purple. Dive deeply into the moon pool, present within each circle. Streaming in colors like mad bubbles surrounding me were the tinctures of my thoughts, the taste of the blackest sea. Without a doubt, I thought nothing sweeter could be found than the numbing inevitability, the tranquility of round. I lived the wine once, a year with scantiest memory, washed away by grape, an infusion of the sensory. How wild the world it lives, even as bottled vinegar. It paints the lips alike of both the saints and sinners. For me, the world was chaotic, a Jackson Pollock dream, where things conspired to be other than what they seem. But now all thoughts have come kaleidoscopically clear. I live awash in colored waters, with little left to fear. Feathered quill scribbles black in the scratchiest of India inks as I attempt a life of virtue, needing the patience of the Sphinx. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Lawrence. And just wow. I'm looking forward to commenting on this one, but first some other comments. Let's start with you, Naomi. Your thoughts.
Oh, this is just amazing, Laurent. I mean, your exploration of the colors all throughout, you know, the angry red, you know, the mad, you have the purple there. Where is it? You have the black, the taste of the blackest tea. The moodiness of purple, dive deeply. You take each color and you associate it to, you know, what if I could go there? What if I, and you don't just take the color, you know, you like the blackest tea, taste of the blackest tea. So you put taste in there. I think this right tickles all our senses, you know. And I just love how you finished it out. A feathered quill scribbles black in the scratchiest of India inks as I attempt a life of virtue, needing the patience of the Sphinx. You know, the you have in your AN, addiction, alcohol, temptation there. And I think you attack that so much, you know, in this poem, just, you know, to all the sensations you go through, just to attempt to get to that place in life where you're okay, you know. And it does need the patience of the Sphinx, like you said. Just a wonderful, wonderful right here, Laurent, all through, just amazing. And by the way, I just love how you wrote this, you know, in the couplets. It really, really emphasizes the whole poem. Just an amazing right here.
Thank you so much, Naomi.
Wonderful comment there, Naomi. And Louis, your thoughts.
You know, I think it's very difficult to write a poem of that length, and particularly in couplets, where it flows so smoothly all the way through. It was almost like he was pouring wine. And all of the colors are the colors of wine. If you hold a wine glass up and look into it, you see the purples and the reds, and, you know. It was almost like sipping wine, and you do that slowly, and you do that patiently if you're going to really savor it. so it does lead to that ending, which was absolutely marvelous, of the Sphinx, Patience of the Sphinx. Nice work.
Thank you so much, Lewis.
Wonderful comment there, Lewis. And Jean, your thoughts?
I thought this was a clever piece. Very well done, Laura. As always, just nicely done. Nicely done. Clever. Never
thank
you. At all. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. I really like this. I know both Lewis and Naomi brought up the couplets, and I too was impressed with that, and mainly because I find, and this is my opinion, on a technical level, when you write in rhyming couplets, there's no way to hide any slight errors in the rhythm of a rhyme, in my opinion. You know, and so you really have to have a grasp of good meter, or, you know, even if it's just a natural instinct or whether you think it through, but either way, wonderful with that. I too liked how you used color. I noticed you wrote this for a synesthetic poetry, which the combining of senses. And I think by bringing up the taste, the scent, the smells throughout the poem, you've done a wonderful job of capturing that idea. I really liked in the second one where you say Wild Song asks the question, a technicolored why. And I liked the use of the word technicolor because of it being that fake, harsh color, that why so many things in life have to be fake and have to be harsh. I like where you bring up a tincture of my thought, taste of the blackest tea. Now, in my opinion, some of the best black tea is the Irish breakfast tea, and I don't remember which brand puts it out, but it is the best. That has nothing to do with your poem, just saying that I think Irish breakfast tea is the best black tea. I also like that you mentioned the bottled vinegar at points like the lips alike. It paints the lips alike of both the saints and the sinners, and there's a wonderful spiritual reference in that, in the idea that Christ was given a sponge of soaked in vinegar to drink from, but that sponge of vinegar, you know, is offered up to all of us. And just wonderful, thought-provoking, and beautiful lines all the way through, and very well done.
Thank you so much, Pam.
Absolutely. And back to you, Phil.
Okay. Now, Lewis, we had your piece up next.
Yes.
So, whenever
yes.
you are ready.
All right. I want to present, it's four stanzas of quatrains, an ode to my wife, Deborah, who passed away about 3 years ago. It's a simple little love poem. And I'm going to begin. Ode to Deborah. Her hair would fan out in the wind. She would laugh, running her fingers through it. Her eyes would sparkle, seeing a friend. With all my buddies, she was a big hit. But it was her heart that captured me. She was sweet and good, tried and true, principled. She valued the finer things in life. She said, I'll gladly share my life with you. For 35 years, she was my soulmate, never being selfish, uncaring, or unkind. From our first exciting adventures together, she always had our well-being in mind. She was special in the best kinds of ways. Our lives moved along smoothly together. She worked hard to make our marriage great. I love my Deborah forever and ever. End of poem.
That was a wonderful read there, Lewis. Wonderful. And this, to me, is just so much more than a simple love poem. It's just it's a celebration of your wife's life. And first of all, I'd like to say that I'm sorry for your loss. And I'm glad you called in to read this because it's such a wonderful thing for us to hear the poet's poem in their own voice. And I really thought this was wonderful all the way through. It has a nice flow to it. It's a heartfelt tribute to your wife and all that she meant to you, but not only to you, but to other people. And as I had mentioned in my comment earlier, it's all the way through, it's a wonderful write, but it was that second and third stanza which particularly grabbed my attention and touched my heart. Because at the second and third stanza, you really take a look at about her heart, her mind, those things of her which were spiritual and which showed her true inner beauty to not only you, but to all those around her. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you.
And Laurent, your thoughts?
But it was her heart that captured me. She was sweet and good, tried and true, principled. She valued the finer things in life. She said, "I'll gladly share my life with you." One of the finer moments in a person's life occurs when their love is returned and a permanent bond is formed. And, you know, one of the worst times in a person's life is when that bond is severed by death. The way you expressed yourself, it may have taken you a long time to be able to write about it. I don't know. I do know that the poem touched my heart. Excellent piece.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful comment, Laurent. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, this touched me so much, too. And like Pam said, I'm so happy you phoned in to read this, because such a real, you know, an amazing, real and raw, personal poem filled with emotion here. Just so beautifully written. You know, the flow of it. I just love how you open it up, you know. Her hair would fan out in the wind. She would laugh, running her fingers through it. I think that's just such a, you know, so beautiful, that image, right, that you created there of your wife. It's just amazing, amazing right all throughout. Just so heartfelt and tender and beautiful.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Great comment, Naomi. And Jean, share with us your thoughts and then bring us on to the next poem.
Right. Lewis, I have to tell you, I thought this was a wonderful tribute to the woman you love. And I'm not going to say loved because this is obvious you wrote this 16 days ago and none of that has changed. I am sorry for your loss. I mean, there's such great memories running throughout this piece. I was going to pull a stanza and I'm like, okay. But I loved how you started it. You know, her hair would fan out in the wind and she would laugh. You know, her eyes would sparkle seeing a friend. It was all my buddies. She was a hit. I mean, that's you know, right there is a wonderful set of memories. But it was her heart that captured me. You know, she was sweet and good, tried and true. Like, they're just wonderful thoughts all the way in each stanza. So it's not like I could pull one and say, oh, I like this one better than the other one, because they all just tied together so beautifully. And I think you did a wonderful job honoring her in this tribute. And I think that you did a fabulous job. So I want to thank you for bringing that and sharing it with us tonight. And, yeah, for calling in as well. You know.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
It's my bedtime here. It's almost midnight. I don't know where you are, but it's almost midnight here.
here too. It's we're on the East Coast. It's
11:39.
Okay. Yeah, 10 to 12. That's our times every night.
Okay, I may call in the future.
You're always welcome.
Wonderful.
Always welcome. Just check
because
our topic boards. You know, we have plenty of stuff.
I've enjoyed every poem I've heard. Thank you so much.
That's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And we hope to hear from you again soon.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night. Thanks for joining us. Okay. Next one I have from Salwa. See if I can get the board that like someone and send it. And I have a soundtrack.
Non, ce capivia, ne quitte pas mon port. Tu ne sais le way. Un astro bianco che avvolge la fresca alba alla vista di gocciolini fine pelle dei tuoi capelli. Il fuoco del mio cuore ha dimenticato la sua pazienza. Voleva tagliare la nebbia silida prima che i raggi esplodano. Gli occhi si sono rifugiati lì, temendo di svanire. Un ruban blanc se serpentait au lever de la fraîche, à la vue de fines gouttelettes perlant des cheveux, le feu de mon cœur, désarmé de sa patience, voulait couper le brouillard frileux avant que le rayon s'écalfe. Mes yeux s'y sont réfugiés de crainte que tu t'effaces. The white ribbon winding in dense freshness, beside the fine droplets, beading your hair, the fire in my heart, the sound of its patience, wanted to cut through the chilly fog before the sun rays burst. My eyes have taken refuge there, fearing that you will fade away in the storm.
Wonderful reading right there, Saul. Just absolutely beautiful. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, this is just beautiful. I just love, you know, the way the fire of my heart, disarmed of its patience, wanted to cut through the chilly fog before the sun's rays burst. You know, just beautiful, those lines there, but all through a white ribbon winding in dawn's freshness. Just so beautiful. Such a well-written brevity, like Salwa can always write them. You know, there's just so much emotion, such beautiful imagery here, and seizing poem too, I find. So just beautifully well-written, and bravo, Salwa.
Absolutely. Well said, Lauren. And Lauren.
Yeah.
Your thoughts.
And I have to refer to the same stanza that you guys are quoting, the fire of my heart disarmed of its patience stanza. I'm particularly drawn to the word disarmed. Poet did not say loss its patience, but it was disarmed of its patience. Almost involuntarily, so to speak. So there had to be a situation on the outside that was strong enough, extreme enough, for her to use the word disarm. But it's also such a gentle, nonchalant kind of word that it fits perfectly. But, you know, that's her subtlety at work. And I thought this was a very emotive and very loving write.
It truly is. And, yeah, I too was, you know, that thought that was a particularly strong line, the fire of my heart disarmed of its patience. Absolutely just emotive and powerful and heartfelt, a wonderful brevity. Before the sun's rays burst, my eyes have taken refuge there, fearing that you will fade away. It, to me, it just speaks within those lines of finding refuge in the dreams of love that once was. So beautifully written and very well done. And back to you, Phil.
Okay, well, that was a great piece by Salwa. So thank you, Salwa.
And the next piece I have to put up is I, Weaver of Dreams. Oh, this thing. I put it in the basket. Oh, no, that's not it. Sometimes I really wonder. Here we go. Copy. Please. There we go. Okay, that's the next one up is Weaver of Dreams. And I'm going to play that next. Here we go.
Each day we garner hours where we can. Scribble words, tell a tale, tug a heartstring. Here a tear, there a smile, each reaction a stone. In the growing wall of words that we're building. Rejections come as they will, at a price. Like the sting of a scorpion's tail. You must hold on to hope and remember, hone your words and bounce back if you fail. Scatter your thoughts in the wind like seeds. Allow them to go where they want and wait. Perhaps the cadence of a poem or a tale will touch one person, perhaps resonate. As a novice writer, I have a desire. Nothing grandiose, there's one simple aim. To know someone, somewhere, having read this, has moved on, but remembers my name.
Wonderful read and write there, Weaver. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It's very much appreciated. And just a friendly reminder, everyone, if you're not able to call in, then the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem so we can hear your poetry in your voice. And, Lewis, your thoughts on this poem.
He may have dropped.
Okay, well, he was showing on the board, so I wasn't sure. I just felt I should probably ask. Okay. All right, well. And Laurent, your thoughts.
Scatter your thoughts in the wind like seeds. Allow them to go where they want and wait. Perhaps the cadence of a poem or a tale will touch one person, perhaps resonate. Yeah, seeds in the wind, carrying future immortality, in a way. Because as the poet says, her desire is just to be remembered at least once. To know someone somewhere, having read this, has moved on, but remembers my name. Something that you said touched them. Enough that it became part of them. I love the way that Weaver of Dream writes. It's almost like proper conversational phrasing, but it's written so naturally and so apparently easily, which means it's difficult, that I love the way it just falls together. Lovely piece.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well said there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I agree with what Laurent said. You know, it looks so effortless, but, you know, because it just flows so beautifully, you know. But, you know, this must have been so hard to pull together because it flows so well and the rhythm and the rhyme and everything is just so impeccable. You know, it's just so beautiful. So, I mean, it must have been like quite a few hours to write this. Well, me anyway. And, you know, I just love how some of these metaphors she uses in here, rejections come as they will at a price, like the sting of a scorpion's tail. You know, we must hold on to hope and remember, hone your words and bounce back if you fail. You know, I think she's talking there from the
because I know she publishes some works. Weaver of Dream does, and you know, so of course, when you try to publish your work, you know, rejection comes with it. I know, because I got quite a few too, and you know, and to compare that to the sting of a scorpion's tail, that I thought that was so amazing. But I mean, all through this piece, the way she just writes about you know, writing, you know, and just like the last line, I just hope that somebody remembers my name in the end. I think, you know, and that it touches one person and resonates. I think she did an awesome, awesome job at this poem. You know, it's so deep and it's so true, and you know, it's just the life of a writer right here on the page here, and so relatable to so many of us. So just an excellent job here by Weaver of Dreams. It's an amazing write.
It truly is. Truly is. I really appreciate Weaver. And that was a wonderful comment. And you're right, this is a very relatable poem. Wonderful flow and rhyme all the way through. And I like how she says, scatter your thoughts in the wind like seeds, allow them to go where they want and wait. You know, perhaps the cadence of a poem or a tale will touch one person, perhaps resonate. And that's really, I think, the hope of any poet, any writer or artist, that, you know, those seeds that we plant will make an impression on a person and really maybe even change somebody's thinking, or, you know, say the opportunity for somebody to find that there are somebody out there who relates to what they have to say. So beautifully written and very well done. And back to you, Phil.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, I think we're only going to have maybe time for this one. I'm not sure. But I'll put this one up, and I have a SoundCloud for it, and this is by Martha Gibb. So here we go.
If Only It Were Springtime by Martha Gibb. There's still a winter's nip in the air, and tree limbs are empty and bare. I haven't seen a robin hopping round. Just last week there was snow on the ground. But soon bright flowers will burst forth, and spring will set in for its course. Trees will wear a bright coat of green. We will be living our springtime dream. If only it were springtime again, the cold and ice would be at an end. Flowers would be blooming everywhere. Their sweet, sweet perfume would fill the air. The bird songs would float on the breeze. Everywhere we'd see the birds in the trees. Migrating birds we would see coming back as winter's hold on us begins to slack. If only it were springtime again, the cold and ice would be at an end. Flowers would be blooming everywhere, and their sweet, sweet perfume would fill the air. Soon the earth will warm beneath our feet. Ice creams and snow cones will be a treat. Kids running through sprinklers in the sun. So much spring awaits when winter's done.
Wonderful reading, singing right there, Martha. Just such a delightful song. I really can this is one I can definitely relate to. I love the longing in here for spring. I like how the idea of looking into the future. It's almost romantic in the idea of looking forward to the future, spending time with somebody. But also, you know, a celebration of spring itself. I like how this takes us to that edge of winter, beginning of spring, and the hopes and the promise of new life, of the bird song and the flowers growing and the cold and the ice going away, and even the sense of joy that comes with the end lines of ice cream and snow cones, kids running through sprinklers in the sun. I think this is just absolutely delightful and very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, this is just, you know, so well composed from the winter's nip in the air. I just love that winter's nip. And, you know, and it makes me think of here, too, you know, they're announcing snow for tomorrow. I just put my shovels away today. I know, I was so mad. You know, she has such beautiful imagery, you know, like you mentioned most of the lines there that I really loved, you know, but there's just amazing imagery here, you know, and the sweet, sweet perfume fill the air. And, you know, you can almost taste those snow cones there and see those kids playing in the sprinklers, you know, and just awesome, awesome ride all through. Bravo, Martha.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment there, Naomi. And Phil, back to you. Are you on mute, Phil?
Well, of course I was. I had to end the show the way I started it. What do we have? We have 3 minutes left. Let me see how long this piece is right in front of my face. That's a little longer than what I can use. Give me a second.
Got it right.
Not sure what I'm going to come up with, if anything. Sing us a little song there, Pam. You know,
this is a song that never ends. It goes on and on, my friend. People started singing it, thinking it would end. But soon they realized this is a song that never ends. Was that good enough?
Yeah, I stopped looking for a piece because I figured you were doing a fine job singing. You know. I mean, we only have like 2 minutes left. I mean, what the heck's the point, you know? But yeah, I think it was a great show tonight. I think there's a lot of really good poetry. We had some good company. We had Lewis. I never met him before. That was a nice thing for today, I thought. Most definitely. We got 90 seconds. What do you want to say in 90 seconds? We have After Midnight with Rex and Pam after this. At 12:30. Hope everybody give them a buzz and see what they're doing. I'm out of trouble, that is. And I know, Pam, you never get in trouble. You don't have to remind me. But yeah, so that's that. And tomorrow night we have Twisted Tuesdays. Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. Maybe a Twisted Mister or two. We never know what might happen. But, yes, 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 and it's Poetry of Motion is what we have for tomorrow night.
Awesome pictures.
And then Tuesday at 1 o'clock, we take pictures. Ooh, did she say that? No, I'm only kidding. Only kidding. Then Wednesday we have Keeping It Brief at 1 o'clock on Wednesday morning or afternoon, followed by The Art of Seduction. To both of those, Naomi.
Yes.
Tired of it. Oh, God.
But Pam's there, so.
Yeah. Oh, so what's the
if I get to. if I get too tired, she can say, take over the comment. No, it's just there a joke. I look forward to it. I look forward to it. Yeah.
Well, Naomi has a busy Wednesday ahead of her.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
What we can say about it.
And I'll be so nervous, I probably wouldn't sleep all night, the night before.
Oh, don't you be nervous. Don't be so silly. You'll be just fine. So that's about it for us. I don't think there's anything else. I mean, I could go on through the rest of the week. What do we have? Wednesday and Thursday we have... Do we have Aphasiana and Dexter this week, Pam? I think
yes,
so.
I believe it will be part two of the Autism Awareness Show.
Oh,
okay, awesome.
Cool.
That's excellent right there. And then Thursday after midnight, we have what? Which show are you doing? I can't keep them straight.
Break On Through.
She said that like she knew it, everybody. You go, Pam. And, so then after that, you know, it's a typical Friday routine. Then you got put up with me again and, fill my eyes with poetry. And then after that, we have Aphasiana with Parts Inner, Parts Ain't. And that's followed by Gray Eye Smith on Saturday. I know, we've closed down the shop. Nobody's even hearing me say this stuff, so.
But maybe they'll listen to the recording and hear it. So you never know.
Right, and then after we have Gray Eyes Smith on Saturday, the next show we have is Sunday at 10 p.m., Rhythm and Rhyme with Rex. Yes, and that's going to be the Sunday show. And then we'll figure it out from there. I don't know what's going to happen next week. You know, the whole world could change by Friday, Saturday.
<You know? laughs> Absolutely.
Pam, you know I'm telling the truth.
Everyone.
Yeah, you too, hon. You too. Great job. Great show. Naomi, thanks for calling and hanging out with us, you know, all night.
Yeah,
and,
always. Pleasure.
Thank you, Tommy. And Laurent and Lewis and who else called? Somebody else called?
Tom.
That's Pam's job. I don't know. I can't keep track of everybody. I get forgetting everything. But, yes, it was a wonderful night.
Them all.
I think. I hope so. But anyway, it was a wonderful night. Y'all behave yourselves. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. If you didn't drop me a note, tell me how. That's all I got to say.
Good night,
good
girl.
Good night, Naomi. Stay out of trouble.
Yeah, I will.
Okay. I'll talk to you soon. Okay. Good night, Pam. She already left. I should have known that.